One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello and welcome to Smosh Mouth. I'm Shane.
And I'm Amanda, and we have some very special guests with us, Anthony and Courtney.
Yay!
That's right.
Hello.
And there is a reason they're here, and that is because this Friday is Anthony's funeral, our big live show. It's the biggest event of the year. And we've had some big events this year.
And that is directed by Courtney.
Yay.
Yeah. Is this your first, like, big tentpole project that you've completely been in charge of like this?
I think 100%, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I want to call, like, that promo that we put out, like, my real directorial debut, but like my real one was every TikTok ever.
Yes.
But yeah, it's been really cool. The day we're recording this is, first of all, the day we're celebrating Smosh's 18th birthday.
Yay! Yay! That's
also
insane. Legal.
So we just finished editing the promo and you watched it and I was like, what is he thinking?
It's so good. It's so good. And that concept was pretty much entirely crafted by you, right?
Pretty much. I knew I wanted a spooky vibe, and like I talked to the whole, like, a room of our team, and like eventually got to one lane because I was like, but it's like Exorcist or like a slasher or like Scream, and it's like, okay, we need to simplify.
Wait, so what made you think you wanted it very spooky? Like, what was your first idea of it?
Because the other funeral roasts have been just kind of like the same theme each time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were always careful not to lean into the like spooky funeral cemetery vibes too much. But originally the show was going to happen a little bit earlier in the year.
A little closer to another holiday.
Yeah. Until a couple of boys decided they wanted to do Food Battle 2023.
Oopsies.
Yeah, we were going to have so many things to promote at once if we were trying to put it out around the same time.
No, this has been the craziest 2 months, I'd say, ever.
Yeah.
I feel bad because, like, I remember you talking about how back at Defy, you and Ian were so miserable because you're so busy doing so much stuff, so many projects, and here you are.
Yeah, but it's so different because we have the confidence that you will be able to take this and run with it and crush it. And back in the Defy,
You're very trustworthy.
And if you've seen any of this, the stuff that you've done, you would know why we trust you.
Yeah, because Courtney, you've directed all of the funerals.
You've directed all of the funerals and you did the promo. Like, you're
why
a boss.
Why do you trust me doing this thing that I'm really good at?
It's really cool. This one is like truly a whole new level. It's like completely leveled up, like the costumes, the sets, the roasts, and
well, it's a ticketed event this time. So I mean, I know you did a ticketed event for Ian's, but this is we're leveling it up in every way.
This one's gonna be huge. I think this is the first time. We didn't have the, I don't know, we're in a place now where we can really go full force with this since we're, you know, Smosh is its own entity.
Mm-hmm. We're independent. We're like, we're putting as much money
Let's
in this
go.
As it needs to have.
We don't have to get the approval
amazing.
From anyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we can commit as much as we want to this, and this is going to be the biggest event we've ever done.
Yes.
I mean, it's looking like nothing else we've ever done. I mean,
it's
the promo is truly like the coolest I think we've ever looked.
And also we had full wardrobe, full makeup.
Yeah.
It looked amazing. We had so much time to shoot the promo.
Multiple days dedicated to shooting that promo.
It felt very thought out. It was stunning. We all got very specific characters, but I feel like all the characters meshed really well, which I feel like is different than the other funerals. It was more like, what character do you want to play? Mm-hmm. Whereas this one, like, did you guys know what characters you wanted to do when you were creating it? Like,
well,
to start?
First off, going back, how early on this year did you guys realize you wanted to do this? Because we've been planning this for months.
Yeah. I pitched it to Allie, I think.
Our CEO.
I think, late July or early August.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and right after Ian and I announced that we were buying Smosh back, aside from Food Battle, honestly, it was like Food Battle, Food Battle, Food Battle, but then also Funeral Roast, Funeral Roast, which is really cool because the food the people that were fighting for Food Battle to happen were kind of the classic Smosh fans, while the people that were commenting how much they want the Funeral Roast to happen are the newer Smosh fans.
So
this was such a cool way for us to link both of these fan bases together and kind of have a moment of harmony between them, especially because at the end of Food Battle, we are promoting the Funeral Roast.
It's so cool to have a tentpole event lead into another tentpole event.
Yeah.
Our viewers are fed.
And we ate with that, bro.
Yeah.
Frankly. But yeah, so back in, you said July?
Yeah, late July, because Allie wanted, she was like, oh, like, we have a live show. Like, what, do you have any ideas? And, like, I had had the funeral in my pocket for a while because I knew it was, like, we were going to do it eventually.
Yeah.
What better way to bring it back than in this, like, huge way? And, and I as I thought about it, I was like, okay, well, we got to bring the banger characters of the funeral series. So, like, got to have the Will, got to bring the coroner in. And, like, Amanda always kills it with characters on the show. And then we never had Chosen on the funeral. So it kind of, like, slowly built out. And then people were saying, I wasn't planning on being in it originally. I was just going to, like, because it can be really tough to direct and then be in stuff.
Yeah.
And then people were like, no, you should be in it. And I was like, okay, well, the only idea I have is Bikini Girl.
It makes so much sense.
Iconic.
No.
Especially feeding off of the end of Food Battle, where that was kind of where that character was born.
Exactly. Yeah. Really? That was the first Bikini Girl?
I think so. At least that was the first recurring Bikini Girl character. I think so. And I think that we literally, because in the most recent Food Battle, we joked, we had a Pokédex readout, the stats of Bikini Girl, and it was like, typically used by juvenile incels for clickbait thumbnails.
Yeah.
And that really was the logic behind it. It was like, we're getting on the front page. We got to get something super clickable in there. So that ended
up my
being,
God.
And back in the day, that was scantily clad women.
Yes, it was.
So you're bringing back scantily clad women in a big way.
Oh, damn right. Yeah. Two big ways.
Baby. Get ready for that. Now everyone's going
to
come.
That is the lore. And Bikini Girl will have a lot to say about that.
Yeah. Ooh. We have been hard at work on our roasts for a while now.
Because I am not supposed to know a lot of the stuff that's going on behind the scenes.
You do know the characters, but
you saying hardly working is a joke.
That's so funny.
You're working all the time.
Yeah, you're doing pretty much nothing. Yeah.
Well, it does feel really good, though, to, like you were saying, back in the Defy days, we were spread so thin. That's what drove me almost to insanity. But that is really what took it out of me. But now I feel like I get to do so many more things, but not have the worry about it needing to be perfect in my head. Because, I mean, you've taken it, you've crushed it, you've impressed me with every single element of this, from the conception. You know, I remember in the earliest discussions, you were having conversations with us and you're pitching ideas, and I was like, take it. Like, you've got it. You've got it under control. I don't have to worry about this. And that's the best feeling, is, you know, especially because for the longest time I saw Smosh as like my little baby that I needed to watch over every single moment. But now it feels so nice to know that you've both been part of Smosh for
eight years.
Yeah.
You fully understand.
Time.
It is a long time. Yeah, it flew by. I mean, we've talked about it before, but it flew by because it's been like different jobs over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, there was Defy era Smosh, there's Mythical era Smosh, there's now, and it felt like working at different places.
You've almost been here for half of Smosh, at least the YouTube channel. Almost half of the YouTube channel's existence.
It's crazy.
That's wild.
It's really wild.
It's like your kids are all grown up, and they're taking over, and they're taking, you know.
Taking ownership of the little.
They're taking ownership.
But it's so cool.
The little baby.
The little baby.
I am just a little baby. It's so cool, though, to have been here for so long and be doing something bigger than we've ever done before, though. Yeah. It really does feel bigger because back at Defy, we had moments where we had more of a budget because Defy was just throwing tons of money at us. But this feels bigger because it really feels like it's ours. Like, yeah. Truly, it's like, wow, everything we're doing right now is completely smosh. Mm-hmm. And that's so cool. And yeah, we've been working up to this one for months now. And yeah, I know we talked early on of like, I was like, okay, Chosen. Because mm-hmm. I haven't done Chosen in a roast yet. I've thought about it before, but I'm like, it doesn't really didn't make sense for who we were roasting.
Right.
But this one, it clicked right away. And I think I threw out the whole idea and concept of it for mm-hmm. this.
Yeah, because Chosen has a makeover.
Yeah, no, Chosen yeah. is... Chosen is also scantily clad.
yeah. He still lives
Lots
at home.
Of breastuses.
He still lives at home, yeah.
But...
yeah, and I no kidding, I've been talking about it. I'm like, oh, I need to start training for this. Like, I've been working out extra hard for this because like, I want to make Chosen look... Because, like... The buffer I get, the funnier Chosen looks to me. Because I think it's really funny that Chosen, like, his personality and everything is so dumb.
So timid, right?
But I'm like if I, it, the more, like.
He's just so ripped. And his mom's like, are you going to leave the house without a shirt
like,
on?
It's like he's surviving off Hot Pockets.
And the amount of time he spends working out, he could be looking for a job.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I hear him at the gym just going up to somebody and be like, excuse me, mind if I get a couple sets in?
How long are you going to be on the lat raise?
All right, is there going to be a big difference between the way your body looks in the promo versus the final?
I hope so.
Oh, just ripped.
I would hope so, but we'll see. Chiseled. It's tough, man. You know, bravo to people who friggin' like those people who get buffed for movies.
It's what they do. They only do that, though. That's the other thing is like they have a whole
team. I'm doing it a normal amount. I'm not going insane.
The difference, Shane, is that they're not appearing in 40 Smosh videos a month.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It is tough. No, we have our shoot weeks where we have like 8 a.m. call times.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I am waking up at 5:30 and I'm going to the
straight
gym.
Up.
Are you doing that?
Yeah.
That.
He is.
Yeah.
I've been attempting to try to do that too. I did that today at 6 a.m. and I was like, Shane's going to be proud of me.
You're saying he used to do that?
You used to wake up at 5 a.m. I remember you'd talk about it like back at Defy, you like, or you would wake up and work out at the Smosh House, I feel like, at 5 a.m. or something.
I would. No, Anthony, one time you walked in on, remember?
Okay.
You walked in on you?
You walked into the garage at the Smosh House.
Yeah.
And I was working out in the garage. And I remember you laughing.
What were you working? Were you just working out like body weight?
I was probably like.
I love that you were laughing.
Was I laughing?
You were just like, you're like, oh my God. Like, oh, Shane's working out in there. Like, whatever.
I was a loser getting fit.
I was just doing body weight stuff, probably like push-ups or jumping rope or something like that.
Yeah.
But I remember, I distinctly remember that.
That's impressive as well. And the worst part is I don't remember it at all.
It's okay,
God.
Man.
Wow,
it's okay. You were overworked.
Because I feel like you remember, like you have a very good memory
normally.
You do
have a great memory.
I'll blame it on that time in my life where I was dissociating for 90% of the time.
Your memory usually is pretty insane. You'll be like, a food battle, 12, time code.
Oh my God.
2 minutes and 30 seconds in,
that
this
was
happens.
Because I was editing all those and they were really like ingrained into here. Plus, I have to rewatch all the food battles before we do the next food battle.
Yeah. Well, now you get to just die and you just die. And as someone who's been dead before during a funeral, you just chill. But let me tell you, it's an overwhelming experience to be in the casket. Yeah. It's like, you feel like a love burst, like a love bomb. I know you're getting roasted and you're going to get roasted. It's so much attention. I was freaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt love bombed hard. I was like,
everyone who's done it,
intense.
Has talked about, feeling like it's feeling really good afterwards. They're
it's
like,
really
wow,
good,
it actually,
it's intense.
It somehow feels great.
That's so interesting because roasting inherently, especially the ones that you see like on TV, it seems like it is kind of rooted in negativity or kind of jabbing in a way where it's like, you kind of suck, dude.
Oh, those are, well, I don't like watching those.
Yeah.
They're cringy. Whereas like, I don't know, Courtney directs it in a way where it's like, it's love bombing with some like, a little bit of cutting roast, but it's mainly love bombing.
And that's really a testament to Courtney's directing because that goes back to the root of, and Ian and I have been talking a lot with different people about what Smosh is and what it's not. And the biggest thing that we go back to is that it is comedy rooted in friendship.
Mm. Yeah. Yep.
And it's so easy to kind of get pushed in the direction of comedy rooted in I don't know, something else, just like jabbing, like you kind of suck. Kind of taking out your aggression or frustration. Yeah. But yeah, you've done such a good job in keeping the roast something that even though it is roasting, it feels like it comes from a place of like, I see you, or like, I recognize you. Yes. I notice the little things that you do.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, because I think people have different views on roasting. And to me, like, the best roast is one that is still rooted in respect.
Yeah.
Right? And it's, and the a roast is perfect, I think, when it's as specific as it can be.
Yes.
I don't think roasts, like, you know, roasts often, like, there's like the lowest common denominator ones, like, you know, making fun of someone's appearance or, or body or something like that. And I'm like, that's surface level. You want to really roast someone on like something that is so unique to them.
Like when you call Drew Shrek. Okay. When you call Drew, when you call Drew a follow Shrek, and we were all like,
"Oh yeah,
yeah."
That was a low hanging fruit. That was pretty deep.
Honestly, I meant personality.
Exactly. She rose so hard.
Oh my God, she annihilated.
She rose so hard that you're like.
I remember. Yeah. So going back to the beginning of it, Courtney, where did you come up with this idea to start it in the first place?
It is a little bit of a funny story because there are like, I think, four people who all claim that the funeral show was their idea. I think we all kind of had similar ideas maybe around the same time. But I remember seeing RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars where they did a Lady Bunny funeral roast. And it was this where literally someone's in a propped up casket, Lady Bunny is, and they roast and perform eulogies. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. They only did this once. They've never done it again. And I kept telling Ryan Finnerty over and over, like, there's something here. Like, we should do something similar to this. And then pitch meetings would happen and like a writer would pitch like, oh, we need like a roast show or oh, we need a funeral show. And then every time someone brought it up, I'd be like, oh, how about this? Cause like the vision was like already in there. Mm-hmm. And then we eventually did it. And I was like, I'm not gonna like we need to do Shane first because that's like the biggest deal, I feel like. But technically you thought of it first. Anthony technically thought of the funeral roast first, before RuPaul's Drag Race.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Do tell.
So back in 2018 or so, this is before I spent a day with series picked up. Mm-hmm. I was at a very low point, and my channel was very much in the depths of kind of as low as the views in my head could go.
Yeah.
So I wanted to, A, have clickbait that would keep people to watch it, but also I wanted to kind of be self-aware, I think, because I was so insecure about how badly it was looking.
Yeah, of course.
I was like, I'm just going to say, I'm going to hold a funeral for my channel. I'm going to say that my channel is dead, and I'm going to declare that it's dead. And
that's awesome.
So I think that was the point of it, was like about my channel, but then it kind of evolved to be this thing where I invited people out to roast me while I lay dead in the funeral.
He's literally in a wake, and it's like him in a casket just laying there, and different YouTubers just walk in, and it's like quick cuts of different YouTubers being like, sorry, bro.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's awesome.
That is legit. Like, you birthed the idea of the funeral roast.
It wasn't intentional, and I didn't even realize the link when Smosh started doing it. But yeah, so I have been in a casket before, but a long time ago and for a very different reason.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
Oh my God.
And it's so cool that you persisted and you were at such a low point that you literally held a funeral for yourself, but then your channel has obviously exploded.
Yeah. It was strange because actually that video got a lot of new people watching it because I made the thumbnail like my birth year to the present day and like made it look like I was actually dead a little bit. And clickbait was kind of working around the time. I think that YouTube has kind of crushed clickbait with the way the algorithm's built now. But at the time, clickbait was kind of working and it got new people watching and it kind of reinvigorated my channel.
You had a rebirth moment.
Right.
I had a rebirth
from the
death.
And now you're having a rebirth moment.
Yeah.
You're dying again.
And I will say, you know, the Smosh channel was, we were struggling to find content that was working. And this funeral, like, you had the idea for it. And yeah, you picked for me to be in the first one. And so I didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. So I think that was kind of nice because I didn't have this anxiety because there was nothing to see.
Yeah, we didn't have a counter roast yet at that point. So you didn't even have to
roast. Just had to take it.
So I also didn't know that it was going to, like, I didn't know what level of roast or anything. Yeah. I was like, okay, I'm going to sit in this casket and people are going to say things. Mm-hmm. All right. And it was, I will say, like, I think I definitely got away kind of scot-free compared to everyone else.
Oh.
Because it was much nicer.
They got more.
And every funeral we have done since gets more and more brutal. Mine was like, you know, Kimmy just dumped a LaCroix on me. Damien did some screams. Garrett sang a song. There were definitely roasts.
Was I even in that one?
I don't think you were.
It was a small one. It was like a really
small one. But I remember Kimmy spilling shit on you.
Yeah, spilled a LaCroix on me. And at the end, I just go, I love you guys. And that was my counter roast.
Wow.
But I will say, I have not gotten out unscathed because I've been in so many funerals and I get roasted in every
roasted
single one.
Roasted every time.
Yeah, no one is. No
what?
One is safe. Like even Anthony, even in yours.
When you're gonna get roasted,
I guarantee you,
everyone else will get roasted.
Everyone's gonna get roasted. Nobody can walk away without having some joke thrown their way. And I have had some unbelievable roasts said to me.
Me too.
But yeah, it was really fun, and then it did really well. And every single one has performed so well.
Mm-hmm. I loved the funerals because I love obviously doing characters, and I actually do not like roasting people. Mm-hmm. It makes me so deeply uncomfortable. Courtney knows this because every writing meeting, I'm like, no, I don't want to say that. I don't even want to know that detail because I don't want to carry that. I don't want to say it. I don't want to roast it. So I love being so deep in a character that I'm essentially roasting myself because I'm roasting this character. But I will say when I did Damien's,
that was
so fun because I was like, I'm going to fucking roast the shit out of him. Because I really chose a character that was such a roast for him. And you and Patrick and Jeremy helped me cultivate roasts that I knew Damien would be like, I see you. Yeah. Right? It was... Because I get so cringy roasting people in like such a negative sense.
Well, and you want to make a roast that they're going to laugh at.
That they're going to laugh at.
That's such a hard thing.
True, because the goal is kind of to make the person laugh, not to like get a dig in.
Exactly.
And so if you're a character, you kind of slip away from you giving it to them. You're like doing it from a character's point of view, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been crazy. It's been such a journey. And
we have learned a lot, like, since the first episode. Yeah. We figured out so many things. Like, obviously, okay, the person in the casket should totally give a counter roast. And because originally on yours, Kimmy originally wasn't going to do anything. But we wanted her in the audience because we just, like, wanted a filled audience for this funeral.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Finnerty was like, it looks weird that she's there not doing anything. Like, let's have her do something. And she was like, okay, like, should I pour one out? like, all right, sick.
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I would be like, okay, this is coming. All right. Great. Here we go.
Yeah. And just the more, like, because from the beginning, I never wanted to roast. I was just going to, like, kick it off. Because Finnerty was like, well, you need to be in it or something. And I was like, I was scared to roast, didn't know how to write roasts. And it's eventually gotten to the point where, like, I feel like I get it now.
Yeah.
And especially working with Patrick and Jeremy. And also watching our guests come in and roasting. Like, you learn so much about, like, framing certain jokes up. And, like, we've had so much fun with, like, creating a character that has a true and true, like, lane. Like Tommy's reading the will.
Yep.
And Arasha's coroner character. Mm-hmm. Like, where it's just, like, it's such a fun playground. We were talking about this earlier today. Like, when you have a theme and a box that you kind of put yourself in for those, kind of makes it easier to write
those
jokes.
It's more specific. You can write the jokes from the character's POV, and it's just so much fun.
It's less scary, too.
How did the roasts compare? Because you've been in on most of the writing meetings.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think this time compares? Because, Shane, you were saying that every time it seems like it's kind of amped up a little.
I will say this one's the... Because what I will also say is, you know, every time we were doing a funeral, this is, I think, what we always wanted for these funerals.
Mm-hmm.
We always felt like, man, I wish we could make these bigger.
Yeah.
It was so tough because we're squeezing them in with our regular schedule. But I think they were always meant to be a big event like this. So now that we're finally, it's on the big platform we want it to be. I think as I'm writing this, it's gonna be brutal, but I think it's also a matter
oh my
of
God.
I think it's also a matter of like performance wise. I'm like, I gotta friggin'
You gotta bring it.
I'm at the Amundsen Theater
yeah.
this time.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
and
like
we used to bring up scripts and
I think my performance has also got crazier every time too,
yeah,
with
true.
Every mm-hmm. funeral.
And I would say like one thing that we've learned over the episodes is like sometimes we forget to like say nice things too.
Mm-hmm.
And then it looks like some of the roast people are like, damn, you guys were mean. But it's like we all in the room know that it's coming from like a place of immense love.
Yeah.
But it's like we're being mean for like 30 minutes straight.
Well, and it's also the pressure of every episode of like, okay, I gotta make these awesome roasts.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not roasting this person always out of I want to say this to them. It's more like, well, I have to think of funny things to say about them.
Oh, see, that's why I just, like, I'm getting cringed right now. Like, I just, I can't
cringe.
Handle, yeah, I just made up that word.
Getting cringed.
I just can't handle, yeah, I feel like that's why I tried to escape all of that. Like, I was like, what if my character is like a super fan, but the character is wild?
Yeah.
Like, the
yeah.
character is roastable, but they're a super fan of the person who's dead.
You've done a great
so
job.
I'm yeah. not actually, like, being super mean.
No,
I can't.
I think you've done a great job of navigating it. Anthony, have you avoided watching the funerals or have you watched
yeah, have
any
you
of
watched
the episodes?
Any of the funerals?
I've watched some clips. I watched through Ian's because I was most curious about what
yeah.
you would say. I watched through some of Rhett and Link's and the Try Guys and
the best ones
a little bit of
watch.
Yours and
okay.
also Damien's.
Damien's is great.
And I mean, I'm glad I didn't dive too deep into
yeah.
them. I mostly just saw like the highlights and clips.
I think that's good.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
better.
I think that's good. For the rest of us, do you guys have a favorite performance that you've done or a favorite character? And Courtney, you haven't been in a lot of them because you were directing them. Do you have any favorite characters or roasts that you've seen?
Boy.
I will say for myself, I can start. I'm pretty proud of a lot of them, but I will say two that stand out. Damien's was something that I had thought about for months.
Mm.
And I was like,
oh, yeah.
The character was just
I gotta
so
do,
specific.
I did this JoJo's Bizarre Adventure character, and I was like, I need to go all out. I had it fully memorized.
Yes.
And I was nervous because, you know, I was just like, all right, like I'm going to roast one of my really good friends and
uh-huh.
I'm going to go for it. And I was really proud of that. But honestly, another one that I'm really proud of is the one I did for Amanda's. I did my Benoit Blanc.
Oh, that was
I,
incredible.
I did it as a full murder mystery.
Saw a little tiny clip of that one.
Full
it
murder
was
mystery
so
thing.
Good.
And I went nuts with it.
It was
a blast.
Good.
It was a lot of fun.
That one was the best, I think, delivery of a roast that I had
I
seen.
I loved
like,
that
best.
Delivery. I loved my funeral. I had so much fun at my funeral. Like I said, I was...
Not many people can say that.
I was so... Yeah, I had a great time at my funeral. I liked my counter act on you guys.
You did impressions of everyone.
I did impressions
great.
Of
that
everyone.
Amazing.
That was my favorite. But like your Knives Out guy, I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Also because I love murder mystery. And...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really
so it was almost
sweet.
A gift to you.
It was a fucking gift. That's how I felt. I was like,
yeah.
I feel so overwhelmed. It felt like, you know, like a wedding day. You got out of the casket and you were like, hey guys.
Mm-hmm.
It was so fucking awesome.
And it's also a really fun way for any audience member who doesn't fully know this person get to learn a
yes.
lot about everybody.
That's
and
true.
Yeah, it's really fun. And like, I'm glad you had so much fun because like, I know some people, it's like, it is like just like really scary. I remember Garrett, when we did his, he like needed a minute after because he wasn't used to being perceived so hard.
He was overwhelmed.
On camera for so long because we do eat it or eat it, but it's like about the food and like, we're like, Garrett,
he
like
was
for an hour.
Overwhelmed.
It is overwhelming.
It is overwhelming. And like, that's one of those ones where it's like, damn.
Good to know.
Yeah. And I will say, like, one of the things I always tell the person who's in the casket or coffin or whatever you want to call it, don't hold back because you're going to hear everyone's roast and then wish, like, dang, I wish I went harder. So it's always good to go hard. All out.
Oh, yeah.
Go hard on your counter roast mm-hmm. because, yeah, it's just.
I'm
hard.
And especially, I'm so curious what Ian's going to say. Because I will say,
yeah.
So,
me too.
Some other standouts for me of characters I've witnessed was Sarah Christ, was her first appearance in
was
a
mine.
Funeral?
That was my
that
funeral.
Wetcott was birthed
Dude.
For Courtney's funeral. And I remember I had that fucking memorized. And then Patrick wet my bangs and I came out and I was dripping wet and I was so deep in that fucking character. I was like, when it was over, I was like, I don't know who the fuck I am. I was so deep in that character and I remember Patrick was like, okay.
I guess I'm a method actor?
Wet cop is alive.
Smosh Mouth fans know just how into that character
you get. Exactly. Exactly.
And another, frankly, my favorite Ian performance ever and my favorite Ian character is his redacted.
I was going to say redacted.
Oh. Dude, that is, it was unbelievable. And he, my favorite roast I've ever received is from him as that character, which was Shane.
The moon landing was fake because they filmed it on Shane's forehead.
Yeah. And I was like, damn, okay. Because, you know, by that point, I'd gotten a lot of short jokes. And I was like, okay. And I'm expecting that. Every single roast, I was like, they're going to say I'm short. Okay. And then a forehead joke comes out of nowhere. I was like, whoa!
Insecurity just dropped.
No, I respected it. Whenever people roast me for anything that's just not me being short, I'm like, okay, that was creative. That's impressive. You found something. Yes. Okay, bravo.
It's like when people roast Angela not about her loud voice. She's like, thank you, God.
Yeah.
She's just done. Hey, Shane, have you gotten your mom a Christmas gift yet?
I haven't bought it yet, but I am planning on it, and I know what I'm getting her, and I'm not kidding. Not just because of this segment. I am getting her an Aura frame. My mom loves photos. She loves family photos. But being completely honest, my mom is not great at technology. She would admit that herself. So I wanted to get her something that was also simple and easy to use, which an Aura frame is. And I got one right here. What we got right on there.
There I am.
Got a photo of you from forever ago. You can have so many photos on this thing. It's easy. You just swipe right on through. Boom. Selena. Selena's right there. Let's go back and let's see what's...
That's amazing.
Look at all these people. Oh, it's so great. So many silly photos. It's really, really awesome. So easy to use. And it is so lovely. They've got different colors of frames and everything.
And it also has unlimited storage that anyone... from anywhere can send photos right to that Aura frame, and all they need is the Aura app.
Yeah, which is right? Free and great.
It's free. Also, Oprah added this to her favorite things list three times.
Three times. That's how you know it's good.
Yeah, it's good.
It's freaking insane.
Visit AuraFrames.com/smosh today to get $30 off their best-selling frames. These frames sell out quickly, though, so get yours before it's gone. That's AuraFrames.com/smosh. Use promo code SMOSH to get $30 off their best-selling frames. Terms and conditions apply. Whoa, it has been a very busy holiday season, and I'm going to be honest, I have had no time to cook food, Shane.
You know, Amanda, that's the case for a lot of people. They do not have time to cook. They don't have time to meal prep. They don't have time to go grocery shopping. But Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, is here to help you with that. They make chef-prepared, dietitian-approved meals that are ready to go in just 2 minutes. 2 minutes in the microwave, and they are delicious.
Oh, yeah.
I've been a big fan for a long time. And what's great is they have tons of options that suit whatever kind of diet you're on. They've got Calorie Smart. They've got Protein Plus. They've got vegan and vegetarian options. They've got breakfast meals. They've got lunch. They've got dinner. They've got everything. And it is so good and so convenient.
It's so good. They sent me a box and they had like cold pressed juices, smoothies that were so good, mm-hmm. and like ready to go meals that I just put in the microwave. It was perfect. Saved me so much time.
Yeah, it's really awesome. They have a lot of options and I highly recommend it. And they are super healthy. If you're interested in Factor, head to factormeals.com/smoshmouth50 and use code smoshmouth50 to get 50% off. Once again, that's code SMOSHMOUTH50 at factormeals.com/SMOSHMOUTH50 to get 50% off. All right, back to the show.
Back to the show. I'm so excited about these characters. I will say, did you have a plan for these characters? Did you kind of choose these characters? I know Chosen is specific to Shane, but Fortune Teller, you pitched to me.
She's new. Yeah, I was leaning into this aesthetic because Anthony's super into like the spooky, like gothic, classic gothic, almost Victorian vibes kind of. That's at least the energy I get. And I like, And originally when we were planning it closer to Halloween time, it was like, okay, what can we do? And like, you've have this really cool Amanda lore of tarot card reading mm-hmm. and stuff. And it was just like, ooh, that would be so fun to like do something with that and roast with that. Cause like, I knew I wanted you to do a character. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that was kind of how that filled out. And then we wanted to bring back, so Angela's doing The Vessel, which originally in, I think it was Lisa's funeral.
Okay.
Where
yeah.
the chat gets to submit roasts via QR code in the stream. And she's going to be possessed by chat and reading these roasts about Anthony and about Smosh.
Oh my God.
I'm jealous of that one because you get to say all these roasts, but you don't have to
you
feel
don't
guilty.
Have to you feel guilty.
You're like, okay, great, what she other has, people are saying.
She has one of the easiest jobs, quote unquote, but like she's going to put so much into that performance as like a possessed
God.
Like exorcist girl. And then Chance was like, we wanted to do a musical halftime show. And so he's not actually roasting you. He doesn't have a roast, but he's part of the halftime show. And so we were like, well, we have to give him like a thing for the promo. And so I was like the altar boy. And Chance was like, yes, I love it. Yes.
Where did the altar boy come
Chance
from?
Impression.
He's birthed in his mind, I guess.
His conversations with Allie and like some of the team of just like, oh, what are some fun other like vibey, like Catholic church
yes.
or like gothic, because like church vibes, mm-hmm. funeral vibes, and altar boy was one.
Well, when
choir.
When you first came to me to, or you spoke with Ian and I about some of the ideas that you had, and I remember you describing the characters, and you're like, the chosen, and then you're like describing the other characters. Mm-hmm. I was like, what if each person was a the blank?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like something very hyper specific mm-hmm. about
wow.
them. So that way you could build out their entire character based off one line.
Yeah. I love that. Love that.
And I think, you know, just seeing all the characters together, you were able to hone in on each of their traits and qualities and what they were good at,
mm-hmm.
the types of roasts that they would give so perfectly because
mm-hmm.
of that.
Oh, yeah. Thank
it's
you.
It's very yeah. specific. The bikini girl.
Yeah, yeah.
The priest.
Yeah,
and
the pastor,
also it
yeah.
feels very like almost old school horror movie, like
yeah.
Victorian
oh,
vibes.
Absolutely.
You know where,
yeah.
you know, like
goal,
you could
so
see
you.
The whole promo, like it's just like the priest.
I feel like it's so easy to understand
it.
Because of it. And mm-hmm. in going in, you kind of have an expectation, but you're like, I have no idea where it can go, but I have some ideas. And I think that's what makes it so fun is you're like, there's all these fill in the blanks, but you have just such a just a little taste of what
totally.
Might
totally. And you are going to be surprised. And like, this is our first time going into a funeral where the audience is in on who's all in it. Not everyone. There
right.
are several surprises coming in the actual show, but like, this is the first time where it's like, here's your lineup, like to
right.
build up the hype. And yeah, we just have such an awesome cast that
we've never done a trailer for funeral.
That's
no,
true.
This is our first oh. time we've ever done like a promo. This is like a big event,
mm-hmm.
right? And what's so fun about creating a trailer and hyping something up so much is when you can live up to the hype.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really nervous with like the food battle release. There was like there's multiple weeks and merchandise and a trailer and
mm-hmm.
all this, and then people unanimously felt like it lived up to the hype, and that excites me. And I know
yes.
based off what you're creating and what I do know about what's been put into this live show, it will 100% live up to the hype. I think it's going to exceed
ah,
the hype.
Thank you.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think so too.
Easily too. Like even what you've done so far, and you still have a couple more weeks of planning to get
yeah.
ready for it.
Yeah, we're locking those roasts down. Yeah, and congratulations with Food Battle. That's
oh,
like a huge deal.
Yes.
So cool that it lived up to the hype that it did. Yeah, I'm really excited. And I really like, I was inspired to do this promo because like I always wanted to do one of those,
mm-hmm.
especially when we did our first couple like live show trailers of like Under the Influence, and then was it the Sleepover one, and then the Under the Mistletoe one was like an interesting one.
Yeah.
I have always been so just amazed, and like our Smosh Summer Games Wild West,
mm.
which Shane was there for that too, where it's just like, wow,
yeah.
it's just something that it's cool
mm-hmm.
and it's different from our actual content, but it's us.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like, ever since I started Smosh, and even before when I was like a fan, you guys made such incredible, visually amazing things. And I was like, I want to do that. Like, I always wanted to do something like this. And so it was scary planning this promo and
mm-hmm.
getting into this funeral because it's like, oh, I've always wanted to do this. And I always felt like this was within me. But it's like, okay, all these people are suddenly trusting me with all of this.
Right.
So it's time to see if I have been delusional this whole time or I'm actually capable of this. And like, it's just so awesome to have our team, our crew, because we just... I had this vision. I freaking used Canva and I still am constantly for this project.
Yes.
But like building out the vision, and our crew was just so into it. And everybody literally put their blood, sweat, tears, heart, and soul and pussy into this. And
like, one of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
It's the coolest thing I've ever done.
So shooting the promo was like really something you're so proud of. Like,
yeah, and it was like just the beginning of all of this. Like, mm-hmm. it's still going for me because this live show is going to be, it's like, it's a different flavor of what I did, but mm-hmm. it's like, it's all still happening. And it's like, it's so crazy to hear you being like, yeah, we trust you and stuff. Cause like, it is new for me to like be able to have this much creative control and just like you guys really letting me just go. And I'm learning a lot about myself and like believing in myself. And I'm just really excited and grateful.
Yeah, I will say I've seen, you know, in the first discussions, you were like, can we do this? Can we do this? Should we do this? And you were a little like, not sure. Mm-hmm. But Ian and I have been pushing to be like, hey, just take it. You got it. This is great. Mm-hmm. Trust yourself. How, if you don't mind me taking over for a second.
No, yeah, please.
It is, man.
Please.
How has that been like, coming into trusting yourself more with this, and from everything that I've seen, you should 100% trust yourself because you've proven yourself a million times over with what you're capable of. How has that Aww. Been kind of finding that confidence?
Thank you. It's really scary. It's really like, because like I said, I was like, okay, like at first when we were getting the early stages, I was very much alone in like a lot of the planning, and it was like, it actually was a really interesting experience because the more I was like, okay, I'm actually allowed to have this vision. Because like I think in the past, I would have an idea and it would kind of get steered a different direction or kind of taken for something else. Like not like taken from me, but like, okay, we're going to do something different with that. And it was like, oh, so this is like my vision. And like I do feel like I've grown a lot since I first started directing, where I used to like look at our previous directors and be like, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you see that in your head. And like this funeral and like the promo specifically, and with a lot of this, like I would just literally have like a That's So Raven, like, and, like have visions of like a shot and like colors and like exactly how I want something to go, and just be like, oh shit. And like need to write it down and feeling like, I felt unstoppable. I will say, I felt.
It seemed like that too like when you were directing there on, even for the promo. It almost seems like you always had that part of you, but you shut it down because you were not confident in showing it.
It's so weird. Like, I remember the first time I directed on every TikTok ever.
She's doing the TikTok girl voice.
It did really well. No, because it's so silly. It's like so silly. And we used to do those little voiceovers in the video. Every TikTok ever. But like, I don't know what it was where it's like, okay, my name is on the slate. I'm the director. So if you don't do what I say, like, I'm telling mom, like, you're in trouble. So like, but it was just like, I know what I'm doing. And I guess I've kind of always had like a little bit like of like a confidence. And especially when I like see what I want. And it's obviously like great when you go into a project and you're like, I know what I want, because then it makes it so much easier to achieve it. But yeah, and it's just, I don't know. I feel like I've become more connected than ever with our team and with our crew that like, it's just, it feels so cool. I feel so supported like by everybody. And maybe it's like, maybe my imposter syndrome was like really bad for a while. And like, I genuinely thought people wanted the minimum amount of time in conversations with me. Like,
I think
that's
there's
so not true.
It's not true. And I also feel like there's a new wave of trust in this crew. Like, I feel like there's a newer connection between you and I feel like there's a lot of female energy that's coming in and coming in and kind of like massaging what was ever needed to be healed in making decisions and being a director and also being a female director. And I feel like in the YouTube world, that's really hard. And we naturally question ourselves because I don't know why it's more of a production when we take over and it's like, oh, they're taking over. But it's like, I think that that's just like an image that's not real. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely not real here. Mm-mm. And I think when you took over, it was like, okay, it was just another day. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It was like, yeah, here we go. And I felt like VidCon, we got really close. Mm-hmm. You coming back, we all got really close. Mm-hmm. And I felt like when you started direct, we were like, yep. I mean, we are a hard group to wrangle.
Yeah. I'm really sorry about that.
We definitely are.
We do bits constantly and we're a nightmare. But you're really good at being like, I love you. Stop. Because we need to go.
No, and then I remember the promo was so funny because you were directing, but you were also Bikini Girl. So you were directing it as Bikini Girl.
I had a sweatsuit. I did have like a sweatsuit that I would put
on.
Yeah,
you did.
But when it was like getting closer, like I had like, they put on like body shimmer that was like liquid.
Oh,
So there are points where I'm just like checking the footage and I'm like in Bikini
Girl. Listening.
I feel like I was like, listen more. It was like, I love you, but stop. I was like, oh, I love you too. Oh my God. I'm done. And Chance was a little like priest, little
we
boy.
We all look
and he was
insane.
Like, we look insane.
Yeah. I'm chosen, but I have like scars and blood all over
so
me.
Cool.
It was fantastic. Yeah, I think we also, before Anthony, before you came back, and before Smosh kind of owned itself, I think we operated from a place of fear a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think whenever I know when I would direct things, I was trying to make it right. I was like, mm-hmm. I want to make it however they want it to be made. Mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking about my vision. I wasn't thinking about, what could this be? I was just like, I just need to make it correctly. And that's the wrong place to come from, because you're never going to make anything original. You're never going to make anything that you know, sets the bar higher. And you're really not going to end up making anything that's satisfying to you yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's something I can relate to with this show. You know, when we started this, we started formulating this before we knew you were coming back, and before you and Ian bought Smosh. And I think where I was operating from was very much like, okay, well, we used to have the Smosh cast and I need to just make it like that. And we'll just try to make it good
more
in
views.
That way. Yeah. And every step of the way, you guys have been like, yeah, like take risks, do crazy stuff, experiment. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing that more and more. And
it's like newer energy. Like,
yeah.
It just like felt like newer energy just came in and like waved in and whooshed over and was like, yeah, you can do it.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I think one of the biggest things I learned in the 6 years that I was away from Smosh is that the only thing that allowed me to have something that I excelled at and that I was really good at, which was my interview series, is because I took so many risks. And at first, when I first left Smosh, I was like, okay, I was like rigidly put myself in this box. Like, I have to do sketch comedy and this is what I'm known for. And I was like, but then I have to do it better, but then just a little bit different, just enough to show that I'm unique. And that's, you know, what you said, operating out of a place of fear. But once I gave all that up, I was like, oh, wait, actually it's about taking a bunch of risks, seeing what works, honing in on the one that excites me most and that the audience is latching on to most. And it's kind of finding that harmony between what the audience likes, what you like, take a bunch of risks, only risk doing something that you enjoy, because if you're taking a risk doing something you don't enjoy, what's the point of it?
Yeah, what is the point?
So, and I feel like viewers can feel that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They definitely can. And also I feel like the people that you're working with, your cast, can feel that. And I feel like if you are taking risks, if you're kind of being like, I believe in this and I'm going to go for it, your cast is like, oh, yeah. And I feel like The Funeral is such a good representation of that, because it's like, I'm playing a fortune teller. He's playing Chosen. And Angela's playing this like demon child. We're all kind of taking little pieces of ourselves and exploding it. And then it's all deeply love bombing you.
Keep saying it.
Before I get it.
Yeah,
it's just like, it feels very like we're an ensemble, and it's really cool to do this huge, you know, promo and funeral and have you direct it, and it's just like fucking awesome to be a part of.
Yeah. I want to say like other things that have really helped me here, and I feel like just the overall energy here, is like over the past year or so, like we've had new cast members come in that totally breathed new life into this job as a whole for me, like entirely. They make me feel more confident in myself, Chance and Angela and Arasha speaking specifically. And like, I love that. And I remember when Shane and I started, Joe Beretta would say that about us, about just like breathing new life into stuff. And like, and then when you came back, it was like, oh, they bought Smosh. Like, it felt like, oh, everybody's believing in this. Like, we're all confident in this. And like, when I tell you, I spent so much time thinking while you were away, I spent so much time thinking about how I was just, it just sucked so much that when you left, it was like, will he ever come back? Like, this is just always going to be an unresolved thing. Like, I don't know. I don't know why I thought about it so much. It's like it's not just like that you and Anthony, that you and Ian started this thing together. It was like you literally built that little website that started this whole thing. It was your baby, as we mentioned earlier. And like, you just had to like leave it, and it never felt right. And the job never felt right, fully right for me for a long time. And so like, when I rightfully so broke down into like embarrassing tears when you came back, it was real for me. And like, this job has like, there was times at this job where it was no longer what I wanted to do. And like, it's all back. Like, it's all back. I fully am so in it and like enjoying every minute of it. And we're making content that I'm excited about every day. And I feel seen and heard by everybody. And it's like, I do attribute a lot of that to you, Anthony. So like, thank you.
Well, geez. I don't know how to take compliments.
What did I just say? Love bomb. Yeah. Hey, this is just the beginning.
I will say, like, this funeral, it's a roast. Like, we're going to freaking roast you.
Good. You need to after that.
It is a celebration of you, as all roasts are. They're a roast, but it is a celebration of the person in that casket. And that's the mission. It's like, we love this person. Let's freaking go.
Thank you. Yeah. I feel like it is. It's not just me, though. It's a testament to both Ian and I coming together and reflecting on the beginnings of Smosh and what made it so special. And a huge part of that was Ian and I being able to just have fun together as friends, try to make each other laugh, be passionate about creating little fun projects, getting people excited about little dumb jokes and fun moments. And that's, you know, going into working with everyone here, that's what I really wanted to push, is for everyone to have the same kind of freedom to be passionate about creating funny little dumb things together, or just to be able to push themselves in any way that they see fit without the fear that a risk is a bad thing. I feel like a risk is always a good thing, because you always learn something from it. You either learn maybe not the right choice, or let's double down on that and try refining that. And seeing all of you take something, make it your own, kind of have ownership of it, therefore, you know, be able to be fully passionate about it, knowing that you're, the stuff that you're putting into it, the time and energy that you're putting into it, is compounding. It's not like, oh, I'm putting all this effort in this thing and then it gets taken away from me. Then I'm putting all this effort in this thing, it's taken away from me. You know, and that's kind of demoralizing, where you feel like I'm putting all this energy into something that just, like, at any moment can go away. I've seen you kind of, I think, keep up that the momentum of your passion, because you know that you're just building and building and building on something with this show, with, you know, Reddit stories for you, with the funeral as well. Like, you know that the things that you learn from this will benefit you in, you know, all the risks that you're taking here. You'll be able to learn from this and apply it to something going into next year, because we're going to be doing bigger and even crazier events going into next year too. And it's going to be so fun to see how the things that you learned, all of us have learned from this year, and having that freedom to take risks, can be applied to everything next year.
Totally. I love that.
And you know, Anthony, the last time you were on the show was shortly after the announcement. And you know, things, we knew, like, oh, we're gonna get a ton of views, and the content we're gonna put out is gonna do really well because it's this big event. But we were like, okay, let's see how it keeps going. You know, and I think what's truly a testament to the energy that you and Ian have brought since you guys bought Smosh is that I feel like so much of what we're doing is succeeding in views, but I think it's succeeding in the creative and the fun we're having. And that goes for videos that you and Ian aren't even in, you know? Like, I look at some of the successes we've had, like on this show, we've had some things that have gone viral just because we're trying things, you know? Yeah.
Five Nights at Freddy's
is real.
Based on a real story.
It is real.
I literally was like, Fuck. I don't know about this true crime story. I'm a fake. That's what I was thinking the whole time.
But we're having a blast.
They were just fucking with me.
You're like,
we're
I'm doing, a fraud.
Literally.
We're doing crazy shit on Smosh Games. We're like, hey, let's try sniper chess. Yeah. And we do it, and it's doing great. Like, we are having so much success, and it's now past just this spike of like, whoa, Smosh is Ian and Anthony again. Now we're seeing, oh, it's actually... We're doing well, not just because of this big announcement.
We just want to hang out with each other.
But because we're having literally, a blast and we're letting loose.
Together.
We just want to hang out with each other, take risks, bring each other up, kind of be like, oh, you're really good at that. Oh, you should do that. You should, like, even you pitching our characters for Funeral, it was like, oh, you're really good at that. And I was like, oh. I felt so fucking seen. I was like, to have someone pitch a character that you're like, oh my God. Yes.
That is so
A, I didn't think about it, and B, I was like, I didn't think. Yes, that's me.
Aww.
It's like, it's to me, that is the biggest compliment, mm-hmm. and I feel like that's what we've been doing, and we've just been loving hanging out with each other.
Yeah,
I mean, we're with each other all the time, and mm-hmm. it's just like, and getting to do this with Shane, I get to know Shane so much better, mm-hmm. and I get to know Courtney so much better, and I get to know you so much better, and I can't wait to roast you.
Yeah, dude.
And I just want you to be prepared that it's going to be intense.
Are you?
What's like the most, nervous thing?
What's going through your mind? I'm curious, because it's days away.
I mean... Part of me is like, oh, they're gonna bring up something that I'm insecure about that I don't know anyone else notices.
Oh!
But I'm totally fine with it. Honestly, anytime that I'm roasted about something, even if it's a little uncomfortable for a moment, I feel actually better about it because it's not something that's like not spoken about. Kind of like when Ian and I first came together on camera and we're like, I'm reading my angry letter to him and stuff like that. Man. Like, it was uncomfortable for me to see the things that I wrote 6 years earlier. I'm sure it was uncomfortable for him to hear some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But because it was out in the open, it made it feel like it wasn't a taboo subject that couldn't be spoken about anymore. And what's interesting is that Ian and my friendship started deteriorating because there was so much pressure from every angle to work so much that we didn't have any line of communication anymore. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if back then we had ways to even incorporate it into our work like it is now, then we would have had a closer friendship outside of work too.
Ooh. Yeah.
And it's interesting that there are now these outlets for everyone here to kind of get stuff just out there and said.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like anything's really too taboo to talk about within our group because we are...
Right. You can give us a list of things we don't touch.
Oh, make sure you touch them?
Yeah. No, absolutely not. Although, except with Damien's, I did touch like one.
Well, I will say with every roast, we are mindful mm-hmm. of things and we always ask and we're like, hey, is there anything that's off limits? Yeah. And a lot of times people are like, no.
No, I mean, but then sometimes later they'll be like, actually, because like me, Patrick and Jeremy, whenever we'll do that initial kickoff meeting that we did with you, where it's like, okay, first things first, what are your boundaries? And just making sure we had all those. And then like sometimes like, because Patrick and Jeremy like really go in, like all three of us really help with the jokes and like. Some of them like are hard hitting and like crazy, but some of them is just like, this is just a joke that like fits for this person.
Yeah.
Like sometimes like when someone who's performing doesn't have something, we'll like, oh, just a throwaway. Like I have never parked in a handicap spot, but like we gave that joke to Lisa because she didn't have anything else. So it's like,
I feel like mine were very specific. My roasts were pretty specific.
They get specific. Yeah. No, but like you have material for days. That's different. I also... Yeah, anyway. But so, like, I wouldn't let anybody go into this without being set up for success.
Correct. So. Like, it's been filtered through.
And that's a testament to your directing style is that it you find that perfect balance. You walk that line perfectly of, like, not too mean, but not too nice. Like, it's right there, you know?
Exactly. Because if it's too nice, it just...
That's more disrespectful to me.
I agree.
It frankly is
how
more
fucking rude of you.
I agree.
Because it's like, oh, you can't handle it.
That's true. That's almost it. Yeah, that
I
is
totally,
true.
I totally agree with you. I mean, yeah.
That is the meanest roast is when you go, Amanda and Shane. Da-da-da-da-da.
Oh,
it's like not even giving them
Horrific.
Oh, it's devastating.
Wow. It's devastating.
Yeah. That's the worst.
I'm like, make fun of my... Crusader, 18th century Crusader bangs, please.
That I was very.
Do you know how many people go, why weren't you Cat in the Hat for Halloween? Why weren't you Adam Sandler for Halloween? Why weren't you Berries and Cream for Halloween?
I will say, people have pointed out on this show, they're like, damn, they have been going hard on Amanda so often.
And I fucking love it.
Well, to be fair, with like Mexican salsa, yes, you brought those videos and you were like, hey, we should talk about
I'm going to bring some new ones. I just want to hint at, I'm bringing some new ones for you.
Really?
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, because you've been working on your roast.
I've been working on my counter roast.
Yeah, I actually just forgot that you were doing a counter roast. Now I remember.
Yeah, so and he gets twice as much time.
Have you been observing everyone? Like kind of, because you're roasting a bunch of people that you have only been working with these past few months.
I've been paying very, very special attention because I knew that a roast was coming up. I mean, there are lots of things incorporated into just the programming where you kind of have to pay attention to everyone from who memed it, from like guessing, you know, there's a lot of games that we play where we're guessing who submitted something. You really have to understand people working.
I saw that meme of me holding a weird like pig and it's Angela.
That one was nice for you. For
that
Angela.
Meme, I was like, oh my God.
That's Angela.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I've been paying very close attention to things that everyone does. I'm like, is there a recurring thing that this person does? Or is there a thing that's like go-to thing that this person likes to have around them? You know, whatever it is, that kind
of
thing. Oh boy.
Yeah. It's fun. It's a fun exercise in paying very close attention to everyone around you.
I'm.
Oh my God.
I'm nervous, and I will say I think I've gotten away. Like my initial funeral wasn't so bad, and I also think the roasts I've gotten. I'm like, I'm always like, people could go harder.
I'm sure there will be a follow up one that we'll do.
Yeah. I was gonna say, would you want to do another one?
Round two, so hard edition.
Brutal edition.
Brutal edition.
Brutally dead.
Yeah.
Sure. If we ever want to do it.
Are you sure?
I think so.
Maybe.
I
don't think so, Boo.
I feel like I get roasted constantly anyway.
You do.
I feel like the fans roast me the most.
So they love it. They love taking. They love being part of it.
They
it's
roast
awesome.
The people that can take it.
They roast the people that can take. Exactly. They roast like when you guys take pictures of me when I'm asleep and it looks like I'm dead with my head in the ground. I love it. I fucking love it.
You like, really look like. I didn't take the photo, but you look like a Family Guy character.
I'm missing this.
Spencer, she was in the green. She was in like our couch, like out in the open. Face down. We could maybe put it up if we have it. But just
I
like,
look like a dead person, but it
you
feels
were sleeping
so
face
good.
Down?
It feels so good. No, I was like this, but it looks like my head's like this because my hair's like that.
Your hair was covering your face, so you looked like you
I was
were
not face down.
It looked like how is she breathing? Her face
you were
is in
like planking in the couch.
I wasn't. My head was turned, but you know what? I just let him think. I just let him think that I'm another fucking demon.
Don't ruin this.
Who are you most nervous about? And as far as roasts,
yeah,
like, is there a person you're most afraid of?
Ian. I think he's gonna go hardest because he's known me for so long.
He does go hard.
I will say, I think you're worried about Ian, but the person every time it's
Arasha.
Tommy
and Arasha do go
no.
hard.
Arasha. Oh, Arasha is devastating.
Actually, you're right.
Arasha's
you're right.
devastating.
He comes out of nowhere,
you're
and you're
right.
like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I wrote a letter. How did you know about that information?
She is cutthroat.
I do know that Tommy is not afraid to go hard, though.
But Tommy's is.
But his are so.
His are theatrical.
His are
like very well thought out.
Tommy's will catch you off guard, though.
They're
Tommy's won't
as
be
though.
As necessarily mean as much as it'll be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What? Like, that was so well crafted.
Yes.
And he's the one who's going to roast you on something you weren't expecting to get roasted on.
Also, he triple checks his jokes all the time.
Oh.
He'll be like, is this insane? And you'll be like, yes or no. And usually it's like, huh.
Yeah, usually our writers, we usually help him the least because he's got it.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah. But he will go hard.
I do think I am afraid of Ian's most, only because we have 20 plus years of history.
That's true. Ooh.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like,
are you worried about him bringing back something up from like middle school or something?
I have preemptively decided to bring up some stuff from our earliest years.
Oh.
Because I think he will do the same for me. So I have decided that is where I'm going to go with some of these.
Oh.
So.
I'm anxious.
I don't know why that just got me like amped.
I dug some stuff up.
So we're all going to learn new things.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So exciting.
Oh my God. Okay, so Ian is the one that you're most nervous about.
Yeah.
And I guess Ian should be most nervous about you.
Honestly,
damn.
Yeah. Ian, if you're watching this, watch out. I hope your roasts are better than mine. I hope they go deeper. I hope you found something that I can't remember. Likely not.
Likely not.
I got everything.
Likely not.
Except for the times that I dissociated.
Time in the garage.
For the last 3 years that I was at Defy. Except for that.
I think I am most nervous for you because I've been roasted. I've been roasted by everyone else. I don't know what it's like to get roasted by you.
Oh, I'm excited.
I'm excited, but I'm nervous.
I'm nervous, but I'm excited because I'm excited to see what you say.
I think I'm good for you. I'm going to go a little bit harder on you now that
you can go hard on me too.
I'm already going harder.
Okay, great.
So I'm going to go a little bit harder on you. Yours was one of the first ones that I wrote. So
really?
I decided just now I'm going to go a little bit harder.
Wow.
You're dead. You're dead, Shane.
Was it because I said every Where's Anthony joke?
Yes. And because you said that the worst thing that could happen is someone is too nice to you.
Ooh.
So,
you're fucking dead.
No regrets. No holding back.
Okay, so the show is Friday.
It's Friday.
At 6?
6 p.m.
6 p.m.
And where can you get tickets?
Smosh.rip.
Smosh.rip.
And as we described earlier, Angela's whole thing is going to be reading chat's best roasts. So if you buy a ticket and you get in there, you have a possibility of roasting Anthony.
Because those are ticketed guests only are submitting.
It's on the actual show, and you get to roast Anthony and Smosh if you like. It's a little form that you get to fill out. It's going to be crazy.
So just buy up all the tickets.
You have that opportunity.
I think I will be buying 7,000 tickets. And I'll be submitting the roast from the audience. And they might accidentally be all compliments.
I wouldn't be surprised if some of our crew did. They entered in the QR code. That would be amazing if they did.
There's going to be some crew in the chat.
I'm seeing nodding heads behind camera.
There's going to be some crew in the chat.
I see some evil glares.
Oh, my God.
I really can't stress enough. This is the biggest thing we've ever
done. It really is. Honestly, we've hyped up Food Battle so much, but this is the biggest event.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. Are you sure? Food Battle was pretty big.
This is going to be bigger.
Don't you dare.
Gonna be bigger.
It's going to be great.
The wedding.
We have a little end segment we're trying. Yes. We're trying new end segments all the time.
Uh-huh.
Well, the one I want to pitching today is called Sending Kisses.
Sending Kisses.
I just thought it'd be a fun opportunity to give shout outs to people or things or whatever you want to give shout outs to.
Yeah, it could be related to a funeral.
Blow a little kiss, make a little note, and send it off.
Send it.
I can begin.
Yes, please.
And feel free, if I send one to someone and you want to send it to them too, go ahead. I feel like Patrick and Jeremy, our writers, and all of our writers over the years, they are truly incredible, and I'd love to just send a little note to Jeremy and Patrick, and also Jeremy, and we're going to talk about this in an upcoming episode, but Jeremy and I, you know, we built the LaCroix wall. And the LaCroix wall did fall in 2023.
The great LaCroix wall fall.
Had to come down.
Luckily,
but
it was just one tower.
But it's been so fun to work with them. I love, and I also love writing chosen jokes with them. It's so fun because just a little insight. Whenever we're writing jokes and we're all sitting there talking, whenever someone's like pitching a joke, they do it in the chosen voice.
Yeah.
Nobody ever goes, oh, the chosen could say this. They'll be like, well, Amanda, you always do this. And it's like we're all there in a writer's meeting talking like the chosen. It's great. So I want to send that off to them.
I'm going to put a kiss on that too.
Yeah.
I will too.
That's good.
They've been great to work with.
They really have been fantastic.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Amanda?
I am going to send my kiss to Selena.
Oh.
Aww.
I feel like our schedules have been so insane, and my schedules have been so insane, and I've had like maybe a doctor's appointment or maybe something here, and I'm like, Selena, I need an hour. Can you help me organize Smosh Mouth or whatever? And Selena is on it. She's kind. She's loving. She literally keeps me on track because otherwise I would fail.
Dude, I'll hop on that too. Me too. Because she's producing on Funeral and she has been
killing it.
We simply would not be able to get these writers' meetings with you guys, especially you and Ian.
No, I know. And she did all the writers' meetings and those are hard and we needed more than one and she killed it and she's just on it and she changes your Google Calendar invite and she's just...
She's right there, and
she's incredible.
I got to add to it as well because, you know, actively while we're recording this, she is helping give notes on another episode of Smosh Mouth. She's been doing a lot for us, and it's been a huge help.
So sending kisses. Guys?
If you want.
If you want.
You did already co-sign a lot of these letters.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I mean, it's kind of generic, but I want to send my little kiss to everyone here who's been amazing to work with and you know, welcomed me in with open arms and taken trust in some of the guidance that I've provided. And it's been really cool to witness you all grow with, I guess, my encouragement for you to kind of explore, take risks, be yourselves, and to fully commit to doing what you do best. And also, I want to give a little kiss to my mom.
My mom's
been calling me and checking in on me, and you know, she's known I've been stressed out about some things in my life. So, yeah, it's been nice. My mom and I've been getting closer recently too, which
that's
is
fantastic.
Really nice.
Oh,
that's so cute. That's the best.
Too bad you're gonna die.
Yeah, I'm gonna be dead, mom.
Mom, I'm gonna die. She's like, well, here's all the things I wanted to say.
She roasts
got close right before I died.
Yeah, exactly.
Aw, shit.
Fort.
Oh, fuck.
It's okay. You co-signed a bunch.
Yeah, you sent out a lot of kisses.
You've been
girl.
Busy.
Okay. Okay. All right. This is what it is. And I'm gonna just send a kiss out to all the girls and the theys in this office, all the vadies in this office, because we've been freaking killing it.
Yeah.
And it's just like so many of these decisions and so many of these things that I've been doing with this project specifically, like I wouldn't have felt as good about without like their support and their like push. And literally, like, I never realized how important it was that I needed to hear some of that support sometimes and getting that push. And like, you know, like when I was like, I don't know if I should do Bikini Girl, and Erin Dougal's like, it's necessary. And like, I don't know if I should do this. And Selena and Emily are like, oh my God, yeah, that's amazing. Do that. It's like, it's just really cool to have such a supportive team, and we're killing it. I'm just proud of that.
We love you.
So I really cannot tell you enough. Like, this show is going to be huge. Get your tickets. You do not want to miss this. Mm-hmm. We've been working on it for months. It's going to be huge. And it is going to be brutal.
It's going to be brutal.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for joining us. Yeah.
Thank you.
That was amazing.
That was so
Thanks
much
for
fun.
Having us.
Yeah. Anthony, good luck.
And good night.
And good night.
Crash that night.
Sign.
Wouldn't that suck if I died right now?
That would suck.
Episode?
Yeah, we'd have to load you up in the casket.
Wait till after the funeral.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
wait till after the funeral.
For you, I know you put a lot of work into
yeah,
this.
Yeah, please, for me.
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
okay.
Guys. Get your tickets. Smosh.rip.
Bye.
See you later.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.